What's happening on the big screen and the small? What to watch with CJ Johnson.
Yeah, it's always good to get CJ's recommendation. CJ, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening. Thank you very much, Philip.
All right, picks on the big and small screen. Roma from Netflix on TV, and then two movies, Climax and Widows. What are we going to start with here?
Well, we should start with Roma, because before it reaches Netflix, Roma is opening in the cinemas this coming Thursday. And I saw it at a cinema. I saw it at the Randwick Ritz in Sydney, where I recommend you see it if you're in Sydney. This film needs to be seen on the big screen, and there's a reason that it's opening in cinemas, and it is worth the money. Even if you subscribe to Netflix, I guarantee you it is worth spending the whatever $15 on a $18 on a movie ticket and seeing it on the big screen, $10 at the Ritz.
Okay, but you will be able to see it on Netflix.
Yeah. But it's a big screen movie. This film is a masterpiece, and it's going to be all over the Oscars if the Oscars are willing to vote for a Netflix film, Netflix-produced film, but it deserves to be. It is massively good. So it is the new film from Alfonso Cuarón, and to my mind, his two best films are Gravity and Children of Men. And if you think of those two films, both of those films show a remarkable ability at visual storytelling. Gravity all took place in space, orbiting around the Earth. Children of Men, futuristic film, incredible tracking shots, etc. He's always worked with this amazing Oscar-winning cinematographer named Emmanuel Lubezki, but this time around, Lubezki wasn't available, so Alfonso Cuarón was also the cinematographer on this film. The story is, well, it takes place in Mexico City in 1970, and it is completely autobiographical, and it is based on his own childhood, and it is specifically the story of a year in the life, well, the year 1970, in the life of his actual nanny in Mexico City named Libo. He lived in what I suppose I would call an upper middle class household in Mexico City. His father was a doctor, and it was a very eventful year in the lives of both Libo, his nanny, and the household, because of something that happened to the household and also something that happened to the nanny, neither of which I'll let you know now. I won't spoil those things now. So it is a love letter to this singular person in his life. And the household it depicts shows that there is another servant in the household as well. So Libo is one of two full-time maids, and Libo is also the nanny. He has three other siblings, and there's the mother and the father, although the father is often away on trips. So it's a very sort of female household, and then children. And you know, it really shows you that how intrinsically tied in Mexico class and ethnicity are, because all the serving class are all indigenous people, and all the quote-unquote ruling class or the moneyed class or the professional class are all Spanish white. And that's very interesting just on the immediate surface of things. And it shows you how that system was operating in 1970 and how I suspect it still kind of operates today. It's an intriguing look at what makes a family up, because this is a kind of servitude, I suppose, that I don't think we have ever experienced in Australia, which is this kind of people who almost seem to live at the house. You know, if you were the child who goes to bed and then wakes up in the morning, you would actually think that they lived there in your house somewhere. You know what I mean? Okay. This kind of 24/7 servitude, or, you know, and then what you've got is this incredible technique. This film is shot in black and white, in widescreen, in just the most spectacular, amazing tracking shots of the year. He has recreated Mexico City and his own house and all these moments from his life, from his own memory, with absolute authenticity. So the production design on this thing is staggering. These sweeping, grand tracking shots through a 1970s Mexico City, it makes your jaw drop, wondering how he achieved it. And the level of verisimilitude, it's just staggering. And it is also enormously full of heart. It is just such a dignified thing that this Academy Award winning, multi-Academy Award winning director, this major, major filmmaker, has taken what I'm sure was an incredibly significant budget and made a film about a domestic worker, about the daily work of a domestic worker. It gives so much dignity, and it is a film so much about the dignity of work. There are no villains in this film. There are no outrageously dramatic twists and turns. It is about a woman going about her job with love and appreciation and the people who love and appreciate her. And it is just mind-bogglingly good and incredibly moving, often very funny as well. And it is very dramatic too.
Okay, Roma. Now, in film proper, Climax, what's this?
Climax is the new film from a guy named Gaspar Noé. Gaspar Noé is an Argentinian/French filmmaker who basically has one theme which he doggedly pursues through all his films, which is the kind of the effects and after effects of drug taking, hedonism, etc., usually in the streets of Paris. And usually his characters get involved in hedonistic pursuits and end up having a bad trip or a bad time, or sometimes things even get worse and there's murders and death and all sorts of awfulness. He came huge onto the world stage with his film Irreversible, which I don't know if you've seen it, but you almost certainly would have remembered the sort of flurry of controversy around it, because it was a very, very hard-edged film for its time in 2002. And since then, he's made a series of films, all of which could be described as provocative. Mm-hmm. And this one is no less so, but it's also incredibly artful. So it's about the end, the final afternoon of a three-day dance workshop with a thrown-together dance troupe of professional dancers. And so there's a lead choreographer, and she's assembled this group of about, I suppose, 20 dancers, and she's had them in a building for 3 days in winter, I guess in Paris, and they've put together this dance. So the film opens with them doing their final rehearsal for this dance, and it's probably about 20 minutes long. It's a staggering piece of dance. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then you sort of get sort of these dancers at the party afterwards as they're drinking sangria and getting to know each other really for the first time, because they've been working for 3 days, and that bit's very funny. And then it turns out that someone spiked the sangria with LSD and they all have a bad trip. And then the movie becomes nightmarish as they all go on their individual and group bad trip. Now, I don't know how many of our listeners have taken LSD or have had bad trips on LSD.
Not many.
But I got to say, if you want to experience what that would be like without ever having to do it yourself, this is the film for you, because using radical and amazing film technique, he manages to make you feel like you're having a bad trip with these characters. Mm-hmm. And so it is more than a quote-unquote horror film, because it's horror lies not in the images you're seeing, but in the way that it makes you feel through his use of technique. And it is really, really effective. Now, that said, it's not for everyone. It's not like I'm giving this a blanket recommendation. It's very artsy. It's very out there. And it's very, very disturbing on a very visceral level, on a way that you can't really identify.
Okay. Widows.
Well, Widow,
this looks fun.
It is fun. This is the fun one of the three, although Roma is tremendously fun as well as everything else. This is the new film from Steve McQueen, who's a British filmmaker who used to be a visual artist and I think a Turner Prize-winning visual artist, black artist, who has then started making feature films. All of his films so far have been good. He made Hunger, Shame, and 12 Years a Slave. Mm-hmm. 12 Years a Slave won the Oscar for Best Film. Now he's made this film, Widows, and it's based on a British miniseries that he loved as a boy from the 1980s. And it takes the conceit of that, but it transplants it from, I guess, London or some parts of England to Chicago. And it's about a small group of women in Chicago, three or four women, depending on how you perceive the film, whose husbands are all in the same gang. They're all in a criminal gang, a burglary gang. And at the beginning of the film, all of their husbands, this is no spoiler, this is literally the opening gambit of the film, the first 5 minutes, it gives the film its title. In the first 5 minutes of the film, all of their husbands, who are all doing a heist, all get killed.
Okay.
And they've got, their husbands have left behind this $2 million debt. And one of their husbands was the mastermind, and he left his widow plans for the heist that they were going to pull next.
Oh, okay.
And so she gathers the widows of this group of robbers and says, look, here are the plans. Let's pull off the heist, because we've got to pay off this $2 million debt. Otherwise, you know, the baddies they owe will come do horrible things to us. So it's about, you know, a bunch of widows pulling together to pull off a heist. It's
a good setup.
It's a great setup. This is the dramatic, hefty, intellectual version of this story. This is not Ocean's 8. Right. In fact, the heist, when it comes, is such a minor part of it. What this is all about is about character mm-hmm. and about drama and about seeing these women get it together, get together, and see if they really have the stuff that it is made of to actually do this kind of thing. Above that, it's got swirling around this huge epic story of Chicago politics. It takes place around this election for alderman, and there are these politicians scrambling for power, and the heist and who the money was owed to and their husbands and the burglary are all tied up in this local political race. So it's an epic. It feels like a Michael Mann film, like Heat or something, mm-hmm. but it's also this intimate drama about these women, and it's a heist film. It's very, very good.
Mm. Here's a little from Widows.
Solved our problem.
What's this?
This is Belle. She's fast, she's smart, and she can drive. Come on, we can't do this, the three of us. We need a driver.
This is not your place. Please ask her to leave.
I'm standing here. You can talk to me.
I don't know you.
You don't have to. I'm happy to leave right now.
We need a driver. Your girl's happy to split your cut?
Split our cut? It's equal or nothing.
You vouch for her?
I don't require a vouch.
You're gonna need another gun.
I got my own. You need to watch how you talk to me.
It's good dialogue.
It's good dialogue. Yeah.
I have to say that the cast is unbelievable for this film. The lead widow is Viola Davis. There's a bunch of interesting men in it, like Liam Neeson and Brian Tyree Henry and Colin Farrell. Robert Duvall is in it and okay. playing a really cranky old racist guy.
How
and
old's he's Robert Duvall these days. In
I would put him at 87, yeah. maybe. Yeah, and he looks it, but he still can act. He's a really good actor. But the person who steals the movie, and I would suggest is the second lead, she's like the second widow, is Australia's own Elizabeth Debicki.
Okay.
She is amazing in this, and I think this film will win an Oscar for her for Best Supporting Actress.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Roma, the Netflix movie, you like this?
Five stars.
Five
stars. It's the film. Five. It's the best film of the year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's huge.
Do not miss.
Okay. All right. And then Climax. This is not for everyone.
No, four stars if you're into the idea, but just don't go if you don't want to see a bunch of dancers take drugs and go crazy.
And Widows, what do you think?
It's four stars. It's really solid.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great week for movies.
Great week for movies. Terrific. All right, CJ, good on you.
Thanks.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.